Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 86 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Michael Green.
All Judge Mays did was sign an order that gave both sides what they were seeking.
A trial date has been set for the local judge accused of forgery.
A Moorhead mother whose son drowned during a 2018 flooding is suing the city.
A West Liberty man has been arrested on child pornography charges.
A refinery in Catlettsburg has received national recognition.
Energy-efficient jobs are booming in Ohio.
In sports, Moorhead State University men's basketball team announced its 2019 to 2020 schedule this afternoon.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Mostly clear skies tonight with a low around 61. We'll have a look at your region's extended forecast after this news.
The trial of a suspended judge facing felony forgery charges will take place in November. Beth Mays presided over the 21st Judicial Circuit, which covers Bath, Rowan, Menifee, and Montgomery counties. She was suspended from the position last year, pending multiple counts of official misconduct by the Kentucky Judicial Conduct Commission. Mays is accused of forging orders related to the arrest of her ex-husband in 2017. Her attorney, Tom Clay, says there are still a lot of unanswered questions in the case.
And there's also a question as to who was involved in helping Officer Sutherland put together that arrest citation, who helped him do the search warrant affidavit. And those are all questions which I think should be answered at the appropriate time, at a hearing or whenever.
Attorneys for Mays and the special prosecutor filed motions for a change of venue last month. Court documents show that Mays is now scheduled for a jury trial to begin in Bourbon County on November the 12th at 9 a.m.
The mother of a 9-year-old boy who died after being swept away by floodwaters in 2018 is suing the city of Moorhead and the city's housing authority. Bryce Combs died when he was swept into a sewer drain in September 2018 following heavy rains. A wrongful death lawsuit was filed September 6th on behalf of the boy's mother, Vontella Combs. The Combs family lived in the city's Russell Heights housing development. According to the Moorhead News, the lawsuit claims Combs died due to negligence and an improbably designed storm drain structure. The suit calls the man-made drain structure in the neighborhood a, quote, drowning machine. The lawsuit seeks compensatory damages, attorney fees and costs, and a jury trial. An answer to the complaint has not yet been filed on behalf of the city or housing authority.
A new lawsuit is seeking to disqualify Republican candidate Daniel Cameron for the role of attorney general on Kentucky's November ballot. The lawsuit says Cameron does not have the legally required 8 years of experience practicing law. It alleges that after passing the bar in 2011, he spent 2 years as a clerk for a U.S. district judge. According to LEX 18, Cameron is set to face off in November against Democrat Greg Stumbo. Cameron's team blamed Stumbo for the lawsuit, although he is not listed as a party on that suit.
The executive of a battery plant in eastern Kentucky is being sued for $30 million by investors. WMKY's Zoe Hall has the story.
Florida investor group DAPCO LTO Investment, LLC, is filing a lawsuit against the executives of InnerBlue with allegations of fraudulent misrepresentation. The lawsuit names CEO Dan Elliott, Executive Chairman Michael Weber, CFO and Executive Vice President for Corporate Development Darren Marino, and Najib El-Khoudi. DAPCO says the InnerBlue executives used the $9.6 million raised for development on overseas trips and paying relatives. According to WYMT, InnerBlue officials announced an investment of $400 million in a Pikeville battery plant in 2017. After going bankrupt this year, Pikeville investors also filed a lawsuit. For WMKY, I'm Zoe Hall.
Kentucky State Police arrested a West Liberty man on child pornography and exploitation charges yesterday. After an investigation, 35-year-old Patton Blevins was accused of communicating with a juvenile online and directing the child to produce files of child sexual exploitation. According to LEX 18, Blevins is being charged with one count of promoting a minor younger than 16 in a sexual performance and 10 counts of possession of child pornography. He's currently being held in the Rowan County Detention Center. No bond has been set in that case.
A former Taco Bell employee has been arrested in connection to multiple break-ins of the franchise across three states. 29-year-old Joshua Logue was arrested in Columbus, Ohio earlier this month. He's accused of breaking into locations in Lexington on August 6th, along with other locations in Ohio and West Virginia. Police told LEX 18 they have warrants for multiple counts of burglary and criminal mischief. Logue is currently logged in the Franklin County, Ohio Correction Center.
The parents of four children, ages 2 through 12, have been arrested on charges of criminal abuse after authorities found them in unfit living conditions. LAX 18 reports 39-year-old Christopher Bowling and 34-year-old Brandy Bowling of London have been charged with four counts of criminal abuse in the third degree. Christopher has also been charged with failure to appear in court on numerous traffic violations. Social Services was called to take the children into custody. Christopher and Brandy were both taken to the Laurel County Correctional Center.
A giant in the Louisville business community has died. David Jones Sr., co-founder of health insurance company Humana, passed away at the age of 88. Jones and his partner, Wendell Cherry, originally founded Humana as a nursing home company in Louisville in 1961 and has since then turned into a multi-billion dollar company. Louisville Mayor Greg Fisher says Jones's impact was far-reaching and shaped Louisville into what it is today. Jones' passing comes 1 month after his wife's, Betty. Funeral plans have not yet been announced.
Marathon Catlettsburg Refining received prestigious recognition on Monday. WMKY's Shamari Mosley has the story.
The award recognized Marathon for comprehensive safety programs implemented at its expansive facilities in eastern Kentucky. According to the Daily Independent, Marathon received a Voluntary Protection Partnership of Kentucky recognition. Officials say the work to achieve the VPP status has been a decade in the making. There are only 14 sites in the state of Kentucky to receive the recognition. The Catlettsburg refining operation employs more than 700 people. Tim Kraft, union health and safety representative, stated he's witnessed major safety upgrades at the plant over the years. For WMKY News, I'm Shamari Mosley.
Energy efficiency jobs are booming in Ohio, and the pace is not expected to slow anytime soon. In 2018, Ohio added more than 2,000 energy efficiency jobs. Nationally, those jobs grew by 3.4% in 2018. Dave Reinbolt is the executive director at Ohio Partners for Affordable Energy. He says he's not surprised.
Back in the mid-70s when we launched low-income weatherization, we really started the trend to focusing on energy efficiency in buildings and in equipment. It's great to see that the industry has grown to over 80,000 jobs in Ohio.
More than 10,000 energy efficiency jobs, businesses operate in Ohio, with the majority of them involved in construction or manufacturing. Ohio ranks ninth nationally for energy efficiency jobs.
We'll have a look at more of your region's headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Community Recycling Center, providing a curbside recycling service to residents of Moorhead and Rowan County. Residential pickup available every Sunday. Pre-sorting the recycled materials is not required. Accepting number one and two plastic, cardboard, paper, electronics, metal, and grocery bags. Materials may be placed in any container placed at curbside for pickup and visible from street. More information by calling 784-1250.
Healthcare professionals in Lexington are offering their talents and time to individuals who can't afford treatment. Surgery on Sunday began in 2005 and since then has provided free outpatient surgery to patients without insurance. Surgeries such as hernia repairs, orthopedic surgery, and cataracts are currently available. Dr. Andy Moore is the founder of the organization. He tells WKYT that the program can drastically change someone's life. He says that the patient's well-being is the most important part.
So you can make a real change with a simple outpatient surgical procedure and really change their life forever. Just a simple thank you and means a lot more to you than a big paycheck.
Surgery on Sunday is looking for donations and new volunteers. More information about the organization can be found on surgeryonsunday.org.
A proposal for curbside recyclable pickup and green kayaking was presented during Monday night's commissioner meeting for the City of Hazard. Carly Watts, a sixth grader from Hazard Middle School, made a proposal for the city to partner with Rumkey Recycling and Waste Center. Watts brought the idea to her teacher, Luke Glaser, who is also a city commissioner.
That's the first time we've had a younger member take the initiative to come herself and give us a proposal. It was just an awesome opportunity to, instead of doing something for a student, helping them and empowering them to take the initiative and learn a little bit about how local government works.
The city agreed this plan would create jobs in Perry County while reducing waste. Costs with Rumkey are being worked out.
For National Recovery Month, the Lexington League of Women Voters held a discussion on opioid addiction, where the community was asked to share ideas on how to manage the opioid crisis. Some suggestions included more secure, obvious drop-off locations and to reduce the stigma and image of opioid addiction. Andrea James, a community response strategist in the mayor's office, tells WKYT Lexington businesses are impacted.
How a significant number are actually people between the ages of 30 and 50. And that's our workforce.
James says the discussed points at the meeting will be shared with city officials.
With school back in session, doctors are saying moms are right. Parents urging children to turn the phone off and get to bed are backed by science on the need for a good night's sleep. Dr. Simone Ferron says research shows that for their mental, emotional, and physical health, teens should turn the screens off well before bedtime.
The laptop, the TV, the cell phones, the smartphones. What I would recommend is at least 2 hours before bedtime, you know.
Ferron says the foggy feeling without enough sleep means poorer learning, worse decision-making skills, and long-term issues with physical health. Looking at your forecast, tonight mostly clear with a low around 61, Thursday mostly sunny with a high near 84, Thursday night mostly clear with a low around 60, Friday mostly sunny with a high near 83, Friday night mostly clear, Saturday sunny with a high near 86, Saturday night partly cloudy with a low around 62. Taking a look at your current temperatures, in Mount Sterling it is 85, Grayson and Winchester, 86, Lexington, Ashland, and Inez, 88, and here in Moorhead, it's 86 degrees.
On Thursday afternoon, a local affordable housing organization will help 5 families celebrate moving into their brand new homes. On our feature segment today, we visit with the families and the team that helped make their dream a home of ownership a reality. WMKY's Nacogdoches Miller has the story.
On a rainy Saturday afternoon this summer, 5 families gathered with community volunteers to build new houses. Frontier Housing's mutual self-help project helps new homeowners cut costs by requiring each family to put in 30 hours per week on building the homes. Justin and Jessica Sloan are part of the first group Build Community.
We got 5 people getting houses here, and we're all working together to build each other's house. So that way we already know our neighbors and already close and all that stuff. So nobody can move in until they're all done. So there's no issue there, so
I think
we're all happy.
The point of it was just for everyone to build like friendships and relationships with each other, and then like a lot of us already have small kids, and so everyone gets to grow up together, and you know, like you're really building that community.
They say the program led them to feel a bigger sense of accomplishment.
Because you're putting your own, like...
Yeah, I mean, you got your own sweat in it.
Exactly, like you're putting your own work into it.
Yeah, we invest 30 hours a week or more in this, on top of a full-time job.
Yeah.
My schedule at my real job is, I work Monday through Thursday, 6:30 to 5, or 5:30, whenever they won't let me off. And then I come out here on Fridays and Saturdays and Sundays and do this all day.
Gene Dethridge is a Frontier Housing board member and also went through the organization to build his home. When he contacted the group, he thought the process would be difficult.
Within a month and a half, I was sitting down with the construction team. They were showing me blueprints. They were saying, you know, you qualify for this program, and if this is what you want to do, we can start the process of home ownership for you.
As his home was built, he became more involved with the process and agreed to serve on the board. Deathard says the work has led to great relationships and a connection with the organization's mission.
Just the work that they're doing is so exciting. You know, they've developed this whole community at Edgewood, and allowing a family that has an income as low as $30,000 to have a real opportunity at home ownership, that is life-changing. That's transformational. Not to mention just the ongoing economic benefits for Rowan County and the city.
Paul Justice is the construction manager for the build. He says the mutual self-help project is longer than a normal build because he has to work with the schedules of the homeowners.
I have first shift, second shift, third shift people, so we kind of keep our site open from 8 o'clock in the morning until 8 in the afternoon. It gives everybody the opportunity to get in. With new construction, it's just mainly subcontractors, and you can get them in, get them out, and move along. But with homeowners, it's a teach and learn as we go. It gives them the opportunity to be able to maintenance their own home after they move in. They are involved in all aspects of it.
Justice says the new program actually makes the building process more rewarding for him as well.
After they've gotten started in it and learning it, I've had several of Justin's brother, young guy just graduated high school. He's been out working with all of these homes. He's a volunteer that comes with him, and he is excited. And we're actually going to hire him at Frontier Housing through AmeriCorps so he can get more training in this.
For more information on affordable home ownership, visit frontierky.org. For WMKY News, I'm Nacogdoches Miller.
It's 4:47 and 86 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Morehead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Michael Green and Cody Robinson, and we're coming to you live from the Larry Netherton Studio right here in the historic Breckenridge Hall. We're so glad that you've joined us on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. Ty Martin has a look at sports right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from Coffee Tree Books and the Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop, promoting literacy and reading in the MSPR listening area since 1978. Coffee Tree Books, where books are ordered every day and special orders can easily be accommodated, featuring a variety of gifts, cards, locally made crafts, and now a complete yarn shop. A community bookstore located at 159 East Main Street in Morehead. The Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop and Coffee Tree Books are open Monday through Saturday, online, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
The Eagles announced their fall basketball schedule. For WMKY Sports, I'm Ty Martin. The Morehead State University men's basketball team released their 2019-2020 schedule this afternoon. 15 regular season home contests, three of which are against foes who made appearances in national postseason tournaments a season ago, and games in the Hall of Fame Classic highlight the team's slate. Head coach Preston Sprodlin says, when compiling the schedule, there are a lot of things that should be considered.
You want to give yourself an opportunity to win some games, and certainly having the opportunity to play 15 home games this year in front of our crowd who has been at the top of the OVC in attendance the past couple years is really important that we were able to do that. We were also able to welcome in some new opponents that haven't been to Johnson Arena, or at least haven't been in a while, and we're able to get them here during the week so that we can have a great student turnout.
The Eagles' regular season opener against Samford is set for November 5th. Fans can get their first taste of the Eagles with an exhibition against Kentucky Christian on October 29th. Information on tip-off times, season and single-game tickets, and promotions will be available soon. The Morehead State University women's golf team wrapped up its most recent outing yesterday. WMKY's Nacogdoches Miller reports.
For the second straight season, MSU's women's golf claimed a top-five team and individual finish at the MSU Greenbrier Invitational. The Eagles fired rounds of 318, 308, and 319 over the course of 54 holes. The season's total of 945 bested last season's team total by 10 strokes. Freshman Mackenzie Neal, playing in her first career team event, captured the first top-five finish of her career, finishing fifth. She fashioned scores of 71, 77, and 76, finishing seven strokes off the lead. The Eagles returned to the course in 3 weeks, competing at the NKU 36-hole Invitational. The two-day event tees off from Lassing Point Golf Course in Union. For WMKY Sports, I'm Nacogdoches Miller.
Round County High School's girls soccer coach celebrated his 200th career win last week. This is Alan Evans' fourth year as the girls soccer coach, and he spent 9 years as the boys coach in the early 2000s. Evans says he wasn't really thinking about his personal record when he got the 200th win during last week's matchup at Montgomery County.
So I knew I was getting close there, and then I had to count it up, and so I didn't know if I'd get it to it this year or not, and then it came up a little bit sooner than I expected. And so 200 varsity wins, I think in this day and age, coaching 17 years in high school is kind of rare. It was a nice accomplishment to get it, and a shutout a victory against quality opponents as well.
The Viking girls traveled to Johnson Central Thursday night. Round is looking to grab their 9th win in a row from the Golden Eagles. Most of the 16th region girls teams are off tonight. Fleming County will host Mason at 5:30. In boys soccer action tonight, Russell hosts Prestonburg at 6:30, and Bath County hosts Johnson Central at 7 p.m. In regional volleyball action tonight, Ashland Blazer hosts Greenup County at 7. Morgan travels to Elliott County at 5:30. The Round County team is preparing to host Morgan County tomorrow evening. The Vikings are coming off a 3-1 loss at West Carter last night, which moved the team to 16-5 on the season. Head coach Steve Walters says his team hasn't been at full strength.
We've been nursing some injuries over the last couple of weeks. We've had two strep throats. We've got one that's dealing with tendonitis in both knees. We've got a turned ankle. And we've got a couple of tender shoulders, and all of those are like within the starting lineup.
Game time on Thursday in Moorhead is set for 7 p.m. The Viking football team is back on the practice field this afternoon. Round will take on Lewis County in a non-district matchup in Vanceburg. Round is coming off an emotional loss against Fleming County last week. Head coach Kelly Ford says they are looking to finish the second half of the season strong.
Number one, we got to work on us. I mean, our blocking is still not where it needs to be. We got to hold more up front, and then defensively, we got to go and we got to work on tackling. I mean, we missed a lot of open field tackles tonight that we got to get better at. Our overall goal is win the district, and man, it's preseason number 5. Hopefully, we come out next week victorious, and we're 3-2 in the first part of the year, and we got to finish the second part pretty strong.
The Vikings are 2-2 on the season, and Lewis County is 0-4. Kickoff Friday night is set for 7:30 p.m. The Cincinnati Reds are looking to pick up the series win against the Cubs this evening. With one game apiece, the Reds picked up the win last night, 4-2. Two of those runs came from a homer by Aristides Aquino. Manager David Bell told Fox Sports Ohio after the game he's happy the outfielder is continuing to perform the way he is.
Hit a ball pretty similar to how he hit the home run tonight. He hit one like that pretty close to that last night, and it didn't get out. Tonight it got out, and he stayed with it. And every young player, every player, every hitter is going to go through a little bit of a stretch where they're not falling or he's not feeling as great, but he's staying with it and continuing to show that he belongs here and able to make adjustments.
First pitch from Wrigley Field is set for 8:05 this evening. And finally in sports this afternoon, the University of Louisville Athletic Association and Rick Pitino have agreed to settle a federal lawsuit with the former Cardinals men's basketball coach, changing his termination to a resignation. Pitino sued the ULAA for more than $38.7 million in November 2017, accusing it of breaching its contract by firing him in the wake of a federal bribery investigation of college basketball. Louisville countersued, seeking monetary damages from vacated games and bonuses. The agreement comes a week after representatives for the association and Pitino held settlement talks at the federal courthouse that included the coach. The settlement, unanimously approved today by the ULAA, states that Pitino has received compensation and the school agrees to not pursue further legal action. And that's going to do it for sports. For WMKY, I'm Tom Martin.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Volleyball hosts the Comfort Invitational this weekend, hosting Marshall at 6 p.m. on Thursday, Copan State at 6 p.m. on Friday, and Southeastern Louisiana at 2 p.m. on Saturday. Tickets and more information from the Eagle Athletic Office at 783-2089 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. Stocks closed little changed after the Federal Reserve failed to signal it will cut rates again in 2019, which disappointed traders, and the Dow was just above the flat line with a gain of 36.35 at 27,147.15. The S&P 500 was up 1.02 at 3,006.72. The NASDAQ Composite dropped 8.62 to finish at 8,177.39. The U.S. Central Bank cut the overnight rate by 0.25% to a range of 1.75% to 2%, which was widely expected, and this is the second time this year the Fed has lowered rates. However, the Fed was divided in its decision to lower rates, with three officials dissenting. Central Bank officials are also split on further action this year, and the markets initially sold off after this was announced, and the Dow briefly fell 211 points before coming back in last hour trading. Treasury yields were down on the day, although they actually rose a bit toward the close, with the benchmark 10-year yield finishing at 1.78% and the 2-year yield at 1.75%. And Chairman Jerome Powell said that the Federal Reserve could initiate a, quote, sequence of rate cuts if the economy slows down, but noted he does not see that right now. In economic and also earnings news, FedEx slashed its fiscal 2020 earnings guidance, and the company also posted weaker-than-expected quarterly results, citing a weakening global macro environment driven by increasing trade tensions, and FedEx shares dropped almost 14%. Energy shares fell broadly after the president told the Treasury Secretary to, quote, substantially increase sanctions on Iran after a series of attacks targeting Saudi Arabia's oil production. The Energy Select Sector Spider ETF dropped 0.5%, and crude futures themselves were down over 2%. In the commodities markets, as mentioned, crude oil, West Texas Intermediate crude oil down just over 2% at $58.12 a barrel. Gold was down 0.8% at $1,501 an ounce. Overseas in Europe, stocks barely budged, with the Stock 600 index up less than 0.1%. Markets were mixed in Asia, with the Nikkei down 0.2% and the Shanghai Composite up 0.25%. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Fifth Third Bank up 11 cents at $28.29, Delta Airlines down 6 cents at $59.31, Lowe's down 13 cents at $112.60, Marathon Petroleum up 32 cents at $53.73, and Yum Brands was up $1.76, finishing at $114.56. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from Radio Eye, Kentucky's statewide daily reading service for the blind and visually impaired. Radio Eye's reading service offers newspapers, magazines, health materials, and grocery ads for independent living to people who are blind, visually impaired, or any disability that makes reading difficult or impossible. Radios are available to qualified applicants. More information is available by calling 859-422-6390 or online at radioeye.org.
Taking a look at some events coming up in our region, the 9th Annual Moorhead Arts and Eats Festival takes place in downtown Moorhead from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Saturday, September 21st. Sample a variety of food and treats, homemade arts and crafts, community groups, live music and entertainment, open to everyone, handicap accessible, and free nearby parking.
The community is invited to celebrate September as Recovery Awareness Month at the Rowan Rally Recovery and Talent Show, 5 to 8 p.m. on Tuesday, September 24th at the Laughlin Health Building. Food and refreshments, live entertainment, kids activities, and community information. Free and open to the public.
The Moorhead chapter of the National Alliance on Mental Illness Support Group will meet at 6 p.m. on Tuesday, September 24th at the Rowan County Public Library. Individuals with mental illness or family and friends of people with mental illness are welcome to attend. And that's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Tanner Boyd, Joe Lewis, Greg Jenkins, Paul Hitchcock, Zoe Hall, Jonathan Burton, Lori Likens, Sarah Mead, Chanasty Davis, Shaw Marie Mosley, Cody Robinson, and Ty Martin. Hilliard Lyons' Bud Luke and our feature segment today came from WMKY's own Nacogdoches Miller. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY, Moorhead, Kentucky. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Michael Green and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers. For WMKY News, All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.